Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hello and welcome to the British English Podcast, the podcast that exposes you to culture and language all in one. I'm Charlie Baxter, your host, and today we're joined by Lindsay McMahon, who is the co-host of All Ears English. The All Ears English podcast has 1.3 million followers on Apple Podcasts and Spotify globally and has been ranked in Best of Apple Podcasts categories in 2018 and 2019, as well as number one in US education language courses. Not only that, but Lindsay and her team have been featured in Podcast Magazine, Language Magazine, and Forbes. But aside from all of those signs of success, Lindsay's passion for language and travel makes her the perfect companion today, as we will be tucking into another episode of the incredibly well-known podcast game show that has taken the world by storm called Off the Beaten Track. If for some reason you aren't aware of the concept, then I will explain. But first, let's check in with the woman of the hour. Lindsay, how are you doing today?
Hi, Charlie. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk about travel with a fellow traveler. So, ready to get into it.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Nice, nice. And you've just come from somewhere travel-y, haven't you?
Yes, I was in Portugal around Thanksgiving time, November of 2023. So just fresh off a trip, and there's nothing like that feeling, right? When you've come back, especially an international trip, your mind's been opened again, and it just feels good. Feels good. Yeah.
I've heard that they are now accepting digital nomad visas for British people because of Brexit. It's changed things for us.
I heard
we
that
can't easily.
Too.
Yeah. Any experience with that?
Yeah. No, I mean, I have not done it myself, but I think that would be a nice place to live as a digital nomad. It seems like a good life.
Yeah. Was the climate good when you were there?
It was actually beautiful. We got lucky. It was amazing. The week before we were there was a disaster, total rain. But for some reason, we got lucky and just sunshine every day. We did a wine tour, just exactly what you want on a wine tour, sunshine and blue sky. So yeah, it was a dream.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, today's episode is about your travel fantasy. So we might be pulling from that trip. Who knows? We'll see. But we're going to be planning Lindsay's ideal holiday or adventure as if there were no limitations. You can think of me as a travel genie rather than a travel agent. And who knows, you know, you and I are from two different English-speaking cultures. So we might stumble upon some cultural differences whilst we carve this itinerary out. For example, a travel agent. Is that a thing still for you? Do you go to a travel agent?
I'm sorry to say it's not. The last time I went to a travel agent was 2004, 5 or 6 when I was planning my trip in South America. STA Travel had a thing called the Blue Ticket, which was an amazing deal. You could have a year of travel for about $800 and have as many flights as you wanted within South America. It was just incredible. I don't even know why that existed, but it did if you were under 26.
And that's insane. I went for it. Yeah, that's really good. I used STA Travel once. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a student travel company, right?
Student Travel Association. Yeah. I remember walking in, I lived in New York at the time, walking into their office in the Lower East Side. And that is the last time that I ever sat in a travel agency office.
Nice. Yeah. My father uses travel agents all the time still. It amuses me. But actually, I have been putting off planning our honeymoon for a while, and I'd quite like a travel agent to do it.
Yeah. You know what? I think they're kind of hybrids now. So for example, when we did our honeymoon in Argentina, we did the Torres del Paine National Park. It's actually in Chile, technically. That is very hard to book those huts because they're in the middle of nowhere. We hired a company called Pygmy Elephant. They're based in the US, but they have very close ties to this particular travel route. And we had our bookings created for us. Otherwise, we would have shown up. There's like 15 spots in the entire park and you're out in the wind and you're in trouble. So there are places for travel agents now still, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. That sounds like a really cool trip. And it might be part of your ideal one. So let's kick off with a bit more about where you've been outside of those two that you've mentioned, Portugal and, well, Argentina. Did you cross over to Chile?
Yeah, technically the park is in Chile. So parts of, you know, there are other beautiful things to see in the south of Argentina too. So Patagonia is kind of southern Chile and southern Argentina. So
yeah. Okay. So you've done those.
Yes.
Where else would you feel like you need to explain to the listener that you've experienced in the world?
I think the biggest ones are living abroad, right? Because that's where you really feel like you've been impacted. You've changed your lifestyle. You've changed your daily life. So Japan, I lived in Tokyo for a year and a half.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And yeah. And then I traveled through Southeast Asia after that for a couple of months. And then the other big life abroad adventure was backpacking / living in South America for about a year, where I mostly did a month in each country and then kind of parked myself in Buenos Aires, Argentina for 3 months and Guatemala for 3 months. And then the rest was overland travel, buses, hostels, backpacking, the whole deal.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Starting to get a feel for what you might like.
Assuming you
liked them.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, there are moments that I hated, right? I mean, it was kind of an angsty time in my life in my 20s. I was trying to figure out a lot of things about myself. So there were hard moments in that trip, but it certainly helped me to become fluent in Spanish and just have an experience that I feel like is great to have when you're in your mid 20s. You just don't know what you want from life quite yet.
Yeah. So yeah, really cool though that you were able to develop your Spanish at the same time. That's lovely.
Okay.
And where, for the listeners, where would you say that your identity is in the world? Where would you say that you've grown up?
Yeah. So I'm from the US. I grew up on the East Coast, I'd say the Northeast. So New Hampshire. And then I lived in New York and Boston for a number of years. So I'm kind of an East Coast girl. Mm-hmm. New England, okay. Northeast.
Yeah. Did you ever do family holidays when you were like a teenager?
Yeah, we used to go sometimes to bigger cities. So I grew up in a small town, and that's part of why I do what I do, why I traveled. It felt kind of sheltered at times. And my parents took us to the cities, took us to New York, to plays and things like that. But it was just a hint of that. When I would go to New York from my little town, I would think, oh my gosh, this is incredible. There's this whole huge world. And so as soon as I finished college, I went to college in Virginia, and then I said, I need to see the world. So typical story, growing up in a small town, but feeling you need to see more, you need to do more.
Yes.
And so that's what drove me to travel.
Yes. And those moments going through South America, they were significant for you? Like you said that you were in a moment of angst and figuring things out. Did you figure things out there and then?
I would say so. Yeah. I would say I did. Yeah. And part of that is just like in the movement, right? Meaning who you meet, the conversations you have, what you see, there's just time to think.
Yes.
And it's not a specific answer that I came to. It's not that simple, right? It's kind of working through becoming the person you want to become in a way.
Yes.
Not to get too existential here.
But we have a cliche, don't we, of I found myself when you go traveling.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I would say that.
But I see I think it helped me because I went to Chile and I did like a year there. And,
ooh. I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah, and did Bolivia and Peru. And that really helped me. I think it was more the fact that you're out away from your comforts and you're challenged with new people around you and you're just figuring out what you can do and what you're capable of. And then you come away from that thinking that you can achieve so much more because you've done that.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
And how is Guatemala? Did you say you were living with people?
Yeah. I turned up in Guatemala. It was the end of my year. And I thought one of my goals for this year was to become fluent in Spanish. However, I had been traveling with a friend who was from Spain. And so traveling throughout South America, I had a bit of a crutch. I had a crush and a crutch.
Did you have a crush?
It's hilarious.
Let's talk about that crush.
A little slip there. No. So, you know, the person I was traveling with did all the speaking. And so it was really the two events that got me to turn over into becoming more fluent was number one, living in a international house in Buenos Aires. It was a Spanish only house. So I found it on Craigslist. I had 6 or 7 roommates, 2 Italians, 2 French people, 1 other American and 1 Argentine. But the rule of the house was only Spanish. No matter what language you speak, only Spanish. So we would eat dinner together. The Italians would cook and we would just speak Spanish, go out together. That was it. That helped me for 3 months to really immerse myself.
Okay.
And then at the end of the trip, it was Guatemala. I turned up in Quetzaltenango and I was looking for a project where I could fully immerse myself. And Quetzaltenango felt a little too touristy. So I said, I'm just going to go to another town. So I ended up in Totonicapán, which is a small town half an hour outside of Quetzaltenango, Xela, and found an organization to work with. And it was don't get me wrong. Part of it was heartbreaking as well. There's a lot of poverty where I was living. I lived with a family and taught in the kids' school and did some volunteer work with the organization, just supporting the community in that town. But it was a real small town experience. So everything was in Spanish, a different kind of Spanish than Argentine Spanish, but Spanish all the same. So
beautiful, beautiful. I can imagine that being a very enriching experience. So you did that. Okay. I'm trying to guess where you might go now.
Remember that this episode, just like every single other episode on this show, comes with a free worksheet where you get to see some of the best native expressions that come up in this very episode, along with definitions made for you, a non-native learner. I've even designed it so that you can play the podcast episode on the same page as the free worksheet. It's super user-friendly, so head over to thebritishenglishpodcast.com right now and check out the free podcast worksheets, or simply click on the link that says free podcast worksheets in the show notes of this episode.
All right, so let's do the first question of this game off the beaten track. How would you like to start your trip? Are you going to use a travel agent? Are you going to be blindfolded and surprised? Are you going to research it yourself? How are you starting this?
I'm not very good at planning trips. So I think having more time and less planning would be better. So if I could choose this trip to be, I would like this to be a 3-month trip. And so I have time to stumble on not doing a ton of research ahead of time because I'm not good at that. I just want to, turn up, know where I'm staying the first night. And then I want to start talking to people Because if I already come into the trip knowing what I'm going to do, what is there to discover, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to be able to go to locals and say, hey, I know where tourists go to do X, Y, Z, like to drink tea. Where do you go? And, you know, can I go with you? No. You know, what do you recommend? Where did you go yesterday? So,
Are you finding that harder and harder as it as the world globalizes and we've got internet for everything? Are you finding that harder to achieve that kind of surprise, spontaneity, spontaneous trip, I should say?
Yeah, I would say it can be. You know, the travel that I've done in the last 5 years with my partner, we've been to places like Cambodia, Argentina, Nicaragua, Egypt. Those have been, you know, real. I'm in my career now. I'm working, I'm living in Denver, and we've only had 2 weeks at a time or 3 weeks. So it hasn't been the kind of travel I did in my 20s, which was get off the plane, you know, figure it out as you go along. So maybe that's just different life stages. But yeah, I think we spend a lot of time with our heads on our phones. We know exactly where that place is. But at the same time, it's kind of cool that we can go to Google Maps and say, show me a coffee shop. And then I can check the ratings. And it doesn't have to be a tourist because it's going to turn up on the map. Anything's going to turn up on the map where locals that's go too. So
yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's swings and roundabouts. I just feel like a lot of things are needed to be booked now. And if you turn up trying to just wing it, it's harder than it used to be. Because so many people is it that so many people are traveling? I don't think that's, is that true?
I think there's a resurgence of travel post-pandemic for sure. Yeah. I don't know, Charlie. That's a good question. I think
it's just the internet is allowing people to book everything.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, also I'm not against them. I like small, like local guest houses, but I don't stay in like the dorm style hostels anymore. And I don't know if in my 20s, I don't know if you ever could even book those at all other than turning up. Right.
Yeah. And those hostels, I had to book one when we did the East Coast of Australia for one night. I struggled to find a single place 48 hours before. Like we had to book about a week before.
Interesting. Mm. That's the one problem with travel is accommodations, being uncertain about where you're going to stay. When I hiked the Camino de Santiago in 2010, it was the ideal trip. And that's getting close to what I want to do is this trip I want to plan. It was just unbelievable. But the one problem was that you'd be walking, you're getting up at 5 a.m., you're doing your daily hike, the 10 miles further towards Santiago de Compostela. And you hear, there's no beds in XYZ town. And you start to panic because you're on foot. You can't make a reservation. And so you start running. And now your day...
Physically, you're running the whole day.
Maybe just moving faster. Maybe skipping your coffee break, which is such a cool thing about the Camino because you can sit down for a coffee.
Oh, so you're trying to beat the people that you were staying with the night before.
I mean, not literally trying to beat them, but you're just trying to get that bed, right? And there were people that sometimes had to walk, you know, 30 kilometers past that town onto the next one because there was no accommodation. So what I'm saying is it's a bummer that like sometimes our travel has to be guided around where we're going to stay because that we lose the spontaneity.
Yes. Have you ever done like a camper van holiday?
That is something I have not done outside of the US. I've done like a road trip, multiple road trips in my own car or SUV, but haven't done that style outside of the US yet. I would like to.
Yeah, I can imagine you loving van life. Would you like van life?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would like to try it. I would like to try it.
Okay. All right, so let's get a bit of tangible imagination around this, if we can even say that. What's your dream destination and what draws you to that place?
Okay. So I think definitely India. I mean, India is such a huge country. I've never been there and I feel like it's this place I have to see. I might love it, I might hate it. It might be both that end up happening, but I need to see India before, you know, I turn 60 or 50. I just need to see it.
Yeah. I agree. Are you taking anyone with you on this trip?
No, I'm going solo, Charlie. I'm going solo because I love traveling with my partner. I love traveling. I don't love traveling in groups any more than one travel partner. Sometimes I like to do like a couple's weekend away. That can be fun with four. But my best experiences traveling have been solo because you're never solo. You're always meeting people, right? You're never,
that's
you're
the
never
idea.
Alone. That's the idea. I mean, sometimes you hope so. Not. Otherwise, yeah, sometimes not. Oh, there are lonely moments. Or you feel like you're trying to start conversations and you feel like people are walking away from you. But I've just made great friends just being open to meeting people along the way.
Yeah, that is true. When you go solo, you do make more friends because you have to. And people, do you reckon it's because people see you as a bit more vulnerable and they're like willing to take you in? Whereas with a group, it's like, well, he wants to
I
be
also
on his
think,
own. Yeah.
I think it's that, but I also think it's your own orientation to your location, right? So when I am with my partner or if I'm with another couple, the four of us, we're creating our own world.
Yeah.
And so it's both.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay, so you're going alone and you're going to India. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I feel like I need to flex my travel genie muscles here. Limber up.
Okay.
To whisk you off there. Where would you choose to stay during this adventure? Is it like a resort?
No.
Or a cabin? What kind of thing?
I'm not a resort person. No, not a fan.
Didn't think you would.
No,
be.
I mean,
do you despise cruise ships?
Oh God, I absolutely despise the idea. I've never been on a cruise, but I did go to a place, my trip to Egypt, that felt like a cruise on the Red Sea, which the Red Sea is beautiful, beautiful. But we had a little joke and we'd say, cruisers, dinner time. Like we, it wasn't a cruise, but it felt like a cruise. The food was bad. It was. So I'm not a cruise. No. I mean, maybe if I have kids in the future, maybe we'll end up on a cruise, but I would fight against it.
Yeah. I've not done one. I'd like to do one just to see whether I hate it or like it. Because there's some things about it that intrigue me, but most of it makes me cringe. So I'm...
Of course, especially if you have... I mean, I won't lie. I have a bit of my identity resting in, and my pride resting in how I lived in my 20s, the traveling I did. And so when we think about flipping over into cruises, that tends to, you know, comes after my pride, I guess.
Yes, yes. This is interesting. So when you were in your 20s, I think you were much more willing to do uncomfortable things like sleeping rough. True. Not rough,
yes.
But, you know, sleeping in a bad situation.
Dorm style hostels.
Now, now we're a bit older. I'm thinking, do I need to take my pillow?
I know.
Do you have these creature comforts that you need?
Oh, yeah. You can't avoid it. You can't avoid it. It just comes into your life as you get older, your requirements change. But the difference for me, when I travel with my partner, we like to mix it up. Like we don't do dorm style hostels. So I'm just not going to do that again. Okay. But we might do like a small guest house and then do a bigger hotel, not like the Marriott's. I stay away from the chains because I can go to a Marriott in New York, right?
Sure.
I don't need to go to one in India. And then mix it up. Maybe do, I did a little couch surfing in my 30s around the US actually, which I hope I'm not sure if it still exists. I hope it does. Really cool experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't personally done it, but I've been to what I thought was a meetup for kite surfers.
Kite surfers or couch surfers?
We went thinking these guys are cool. Kite surfers. And then it was a couch surfing meetup.
I love that story. Yeah. I love that.
I think it was in Spain. I can't remember where it was, maybe. Oh, but yeah, God. It was quite the shock for us. So not as interesting, but it's a cool idea and it's a company worth sourcing if you don't know about it, guys. That's if it does exist still. So you can, you've done couch surfing in your 30s. That's respectable.
Yeah. I took a cross-country road trip around the U.S. and filmed actually the course that we still have available for students now, the Connected Communicator. And I actually couch surfed. Probably a third of that trip was just couch surfing, and then it was camping.
Okay. So are you going to be I don't know if we've talked about what you're actually going to be staying in. Are you camping? Are you?
Yeah. So let's come back to the, so yeah. So this India trip, I think I will be, some, maybe like staying in huts, that kind of thing. Okay. I would like it to be a physical. So what I love, if we're going to design a trip, it should have physical activity combined with good conversation and connection and some kind of challenge or project or goal. Like I just, I don't want to just bounce around and just be a tourist, right? So I'm either trying to learn the language or I'm interviewing people in some way for a project. That's where I've found my most rewarding, or I'm trying to get somewhere. It could be as simple as this is a 500 mile journey, like the Camino.
Right.
I'm just trying to get to the end.
Yeah. Have you ever sat in a hammock and read a book?
I have, but I get bored after about 45 minutes. So
wait, it's 45 minutes. That's a nice amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you include that in this trip? Would you take a book?
It's all about counterbalance. Yeah, for sure. So you have your hammock in your backpack, set it up after a day of hiking. How heavy is this thing going to be?
Yeah. Well, I can make it as light as you want. Don't worry about that. Yeah. Okay. So you're going alone, you're going to India, you're living in huts and you're doing something challenging, something.
Yeah. Probably in the north, probably hiking the north, you know. I've spent a lot of time studying meditation in the last 15 years, studying Buddhism. I don't know if I would call myself a Buddhist. I don't love the ists and the isms, but I study it and I sit with a group every other week and like it's a big part of my life. And there's a lot of Buddhism originated in India and there's a lot of history there that I'd like to visit those sites. So that's a thing.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a nice way of putting it. I don't like an ist or an ism. How did you say again?
I don't like the ists or the isms. When it comes to mindfulness practice, it's really not about being Buddhist or being of any kind of religion. It's about finding peace within the mind. And so especially that kind of practice does not lend itself to ideas of religion quite so much. It's more about a daily practice. So
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to how you're traveling. What kind of transport are you going to be taking? Are you
hiking boots?
You're going to be going on foot like you're, oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm designing my dream trip here, right? So
how are you, as in to India?
No, I'm not going, not hiking to India. I'm flying to India. Come on.
Just checking.
That would be kind of wild.
Okay. No. You're flying?
Flying there, probably into Delhi or Mumbai, checking out the cities. Then I'm taking a train to the north. And hopefully, I think there might be some hiking paths or some pilgrimages that you can do up there. I haven't done a lot of research yet.
Okay.
But if we have to make it that specific, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
We will leave it there for part one of today's episode. Thank you very much for listening up to this point. If you did want to listen to part two and part three of this conversation, then you can head over to thebritishenglishpodcast.com and check out the premium podcast or academy memberships.
I also highly encourage you to check out the podcast Lindsay does, which is called All Ears English, as their philosophy is connection, not perfection. Lovely. I like that. And they publish 4 episodes a week, so plenty of episodes to binge through there.
But if you were just here for part one of this conversation, then I thank you very much for stopping by. I hope you enjoyed the show. Do grab that free worksheet by clicking the link in the show notes. My name's Charlie, and I will see you next week on the British English Podcast.